and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live for the next 2 hours on this sixth day of September 2005. Hope you all had a good Labor Day. There are some people that had a good Labor Day that got the hell out of the war zone down in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll be talking today with Kathy Townsend. She was the person I mentioned on the air that was going to do some rescuing down in Houston. And she has been doing that with remarkable success. With a little hands-on experience with the victims. And folks, I didn't think I was going to hear this, but I actually heard George Bush ask the question, why are we calling these people refugees? Bush stole my thunder on that one, because this has been bugging me since day one of this fiasco down in the Gulf area. But, well, George, you know, like I've said, you know, you do many things wrong, and every once in a while you'll get something right, regardless whether it's in your scope of understanding or not. But he did have a good point. Are these refugees? Well, that's the term that you use in wartime scenarios. These are displaced homeless people. And I want to read you something here, and then we'll get into Kathy Townsend's experience and her husband going down to Houston. It's folks, well, we've had this on television now for, let me see, today is Tuesday, 8 straight days. And now the finger pointing's starting. And of course, we'll probably have 2 months of this more on the news. But the fact is that it's over with. Katrina came through, has gone, caused the damage, pointed out some really stupid people in government. it's been interesting because not everybody has been on the bandwagon here for nationalizing. Blanco, the governor of Louisiana, she had a problem with the National Guard coming in or the federal troops coming in and basically federalizing operations. The Fed would have been in control of the National Guard. And she had some problems with that, and I do too. We do have a thing called posse comitatus, which prevents, for whatever reason, active military duty personnel. I'm not talking about guard, but talking about regular military personnel, loaded, cocked, and locked, and keeping peace in the city streets. This is not a good situation, folks. Guards people, if they weren't in Iraq right now, we would have had plenty of guards people. There have been guardsmen coming from 40 different states down to Louisiana. But here's the question I have. And if everybody is buying this, then I've got to ask you how much of it you bought and what are you going to do with it now that you've figured out it's not worth anything. That's right. It's been 4 years since September 11th, 2001, and we were told that the federal government on a moment's notice could evacuate over a nuclear, biological, or chemical situation, could evacuate entire cities. Oh, the word from FEMA is, well, the water caused a problem. Well, so would radiation and biological elements also. We'll take the break. We'll come back, a little precursor here, and then talk to Kathy Townsend right after this.
When we was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
For over a year and a half, I have lived with a foot disorder called tarsal tunnel syndrome. My feet became numb with severe aching in my ankles. Additionally, my calves ached. I would have severe shooting pains in my feet, especially at night. While trying to sleep, I would literally cry from the pain that my feet were going through. My podiatrist suggested several different treatments, but could not assure me of any relief. My son told me about Cocoon GH. He assured me that the Cocoon products did what they claimed they would do, and after just 2 weeks, using Cocoon GH Extra Strength, my calves and the shooting pains in my feet started to go away. But best of all, I have the feeling back in the heel half of my feet. This GH has literally saved my life. I now get up each morning and hit the floor running. Additionally, my blood pressure is now 120 over 80, the lowest it's been in 30 years.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Not about rain, wind, flooding, but rape, murder, and looting. What explains bands of thugs using a natural disaster as an excuse for an orgy of looting, armed robbery, and rape? What causes unruly mobs to storm the very buses that have arrived to evacuate them, causing the drivers to drive away, frightened for their lives? What causes people to attack the doctors trying to treat patients at the Superdome? Now, it's taken 4 long days for the state and federal officials to figure out how to deal with the disaster in New Orleans. I can't blame them because it has also taken me 4 long days to figure out what is going on there. The reason is that the events there make no sense if you think that we are confronting a natural disaster. Now, if this is just a natural disaster, the response for public officials is obvious. You bring in food, water, and doctors. You send transportation to evacuate refugees to temporary shelters. You send engineers to stop the flooding and rebuild the city's infrastructure. For journalists, natural disasters also have familiar patterns. The heroism of ordinary people pulling together to survive, the hard work and dedication of doctors, nurses, rescue workers, the steps being taken to clean up and rebuild. Public officials did not expect that the first thing that they would have to do is to send thousands of armed troops in an armored vehicle as if they were suppressing an enemy insurgency. And journalists, myself included, did not expect the story would not be about rain, wind, and flooding, but about rape, murder, and looting. But this is not a natural disaster. It is a man-made disaster. The man-made disaster hoping not to repeat that too many times, is not an inadequate or an incompetent response by federal relief agencies, and it was not directly caused by Hurricane Katrina. This is where just about every other newspaper and television channel has gotten the story wrong. The man-made disaster we are now witnessing in New Orleans did not happen over the past 4 days. It happened over the past 4 decades. Hurricane Katrina merely exposed it to public view. The man-made disaster is the welfare state. For the past few days, I've found the news from New Orleans to be confusing. People are not behaving as you would expect them to behave in an emergency. Indeed, they were not behaving as they've behaved in other emergencies. This is what has shocked so many people. They have been saying that this is not what we expect from America. In fact, it's not even what we expect from a third world country. When confronted with disaster, people usually rise to the occasion. They work together to rescue people in danger, and they spontaneously organize to keep order and solve problems. This is especially true in America. We are an enterprising people, used to relying on our own initiative, rather than waiting around for the government to take care of us. I have seen this 100 times in small examples, a small town whose main traffic light has gone out, causing ordinary citizens to get out of their cars and served as impromptu traffic cops, directing cars through the intersections, and large ones, the spontaneous response of the New Yorkers on September 11th. So what explains the chaos in New Orleans? To give you an idea of the magnitude of what's going on, here's a description from the Washington Times story. Storm victims are raped and beaten. Fights erupt with flying fists, knives, and guns. Fires are breaking out. Corpses litter the streets. And police and rescue helicopters are repeatedly fired on. The plea from Mayor C. Ray Nagin came even as National Guardsmen poured in to restore order and to stop the looting, carjackings, and gunfire. Last night, Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco said 300 Iraq-hardened Arkansas National Guard members were inside New Orleans with shoot-to-kill orders. These troops are, she says, under my orders to restore order in the streets. They have M16s and are locked and loaded. These troops know how to shoot and kill when they are more than willing to do so if necessary, and I expect they will. Now, I can read you countless examples of this. And, folks, maybe this is a little dangerous for a talk show host to do, but initially, when I saw this, and I knew the numbers of people that are affected, and I said this on the program last week, that these were, the majority of these people are low-income families. And I'll have to agree with, gosh, I find myself agreeing with what Al Sharpton, I call him Al the Charlatan Sharpton, said about if this were middle-class or upper-middle-class whites, would we still have an evacuation problem? Eh, probably not. We have fingers pointing on both sides. The rescuers are saying the people were shooting at us. The initial reports that we got was a lot of the gunfire as the helicopters came in. They were just trying to be located. The people that were firing the shots were firing warning shots into the air, not to stay away, telling them where they were. And, of course, we have other stories in New Orleans. Five DOD workers were shot dead. This is not normal circumstance, folks. You did not have this happening in New York City on September 11th. You didn't see this happening in other areas around the country. You have to start looking at the demographics and the breakout of what society is down in New Orleans. And we're talking about areas that are some of the worst and poorest areas that can be, I would say, unmatched by any ghetto in this country. And we all know that they're there. You know, there's this script that most people are following, and they're not willing to hop off of that script. We have welfare state communities in every major city in this country. Cleveland, Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C., all over the country. What this is doing, ladies and gentlemen, and the politicians are scared to touch this one. What we have are large concentrations of poor, low-income, welfare recipients, drug addicts. It's the norm in America, okay? This is the norm in ghetto situations. That's what we were dealing with the majority of what was going down in New Orleans was ghetto-oriented. And I'm not going to sugarcoat that because that's the plain fact. The problem as I see it, here we are in 2005, we had the Civil Rights Act, what was that, back in the 70s? Late 60s, early 70s, something like that. We were supposed to have equality amongst people guaranteed by the FedGov. But what we have seen is people basically, you want to talk about internment camps, well, they didn't have bars. There was no barbed wire fences around their communities. But basically, these people were prisoners in their own communities. Try being out without hope. Folks, they didn't have hope before the hurricane hit. They didn't have hope before the floodwaters hit. And who's to say that they're going to have hope? And I've got to tell you something. There's success story after success story. A lot of the people that have been evacuated from New Orleans are never going back. They are more than glad to escape that self-made hell down there. And again, we don't want to talk about this openly on the air because you're going to have people throwing, you know, the racial card into this deal. We're dealing with a set of facts here, folks. The facts are inescapable. Now, the question is, do we learn from this? The people that are in New Orleans right now, there's still some down there. A lot of them have been evacuated out, and a lot of them aren't going back. I've got Kathy Townsend. Why don't you pull that microphone right over, right in front of your face there. You got Kathy Townsend. And Kathy, last week you were talking to my wife, and you said my husband Brad and I are going down to Houston, and we're going to go rescue some people. Why did you do that?
I don't know. We started, we were watching TV for a couple of days, and I just couldn't take watching it anymore. Because
You broke out in hives, didn't you?
If I was crying, my husband was outside fixing a car, and I broke out in hives all over the place. And he said, what do you want to do to make you happy?
He already knew.
And I said, I need to go find a family. I said, if that was us or, you know, the kids out there, what would we do? So we didn't have the vehicle to do it. He called his father that lives in Killeen and asked if we could borrow his van. And his dad said, sure, we'd love to help. About 10 minutes later, he called back and he said, I've got something better. I rented you a Suburban that fits 10 people so you can fit more people in comfortably. Come on down and get it.
It would have been better if the gas prices had been $3 a gallon, but, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty high.
I understand. Now, you decided to go down there. What did... And I'm trying to get a general sense and a feeling. This is the first radio program you've ever done, so don't be nervous. You're talking to tens of thousands of people right now, but don't get nervous.
Great,
they're all our friends out there. Okay,
they've been a lot of help.
Yes, they have been. Now, you went down there last Thursday. You'd seen the reports for a couple of days, decided that you had to do something, and started to take direct action. Did you think that you were going to get mobbed when you got down there to the Astrodome?
Everything we thought went out the window when we got there. We figured when we pulled up, there'd be so many desperate families that needed help that we'd want to help. They'd be jumping on the car, and we wouldn't know how to figure out who to take and who to pull off the car.
Right.
It wasn't like that at all. We went in when we got into town. It was really scary. There was a lot of chaos in Houston because we'd been to both Houston and Austin. There was major chaos up there. And there were volunteers walking in not knowing where to go or what to do. And when they got in there, they were too scared to do anything, I think, but sweep the floors. It was really hard to get in the place. There was people walking all over the streets. You see people breaking into things. You see fights breaking out. But for every bad, you saw good. If you were under 18, you couldn't get in, period. They had kids from churches, from schools out there with big pots of stew handing out hot plates of food. So... it was both ways.
It was the best of the best and the worst of the worst.
And the worst of the worst.
Well, and normally, now, if this would have happened in Austin, Texas, or any place like that, we wouldn't have seen what was going on down there. Now, we have the feds were saying, well, rescue efforts were hampered because of the floods. Well, okay, I'm looking at this situation. Now, we're led to believe that the government can rescue us from biological, nuclear, or chemical attacks. They can absolutely lock down and then evacuate entire cities, but a little floodwater held these people up. As the story starts to become more and more clear, we have people down there that were in desperate situation. They had no food, no water, no clothing. They didn't have communications. They didn't have bank accounts. They didn't have a bus out of town. They couldn't hop a cab.
Right.
They couldn't get out of there. And after days of this going on, I'm asking you folks, fine folks out there, how do you think you'd be acting after 4 or 5 days of this? And mix in the bad elements that we're also talking about down there. It was a strange, strange mix. this is coming to a better conclusion than it started out, folks. We'll talk more about this with Kathy Townsend.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hello, this is Christine with BringHemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring Them Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringhemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
And the worst. That's the capability that everybody has, folks. You know it. You've seen it in yourself throughout your life. There are some things you're not proud of. There are some things you've done in your life that you wished you could do over. Well, take that situation. I'm taking a strong look at this, folks. I mean, how many of you folks out there lived in a ghetto? How many of you folks lived with endless block after block, tens of thousands of people that have been on the government teat, okay, if you will, for all these years? And that was the problem with the welfare state, to make you so dependent on government that you give up the one thing that you should always have for anything in life, and that's hope and a better day. Well, that's what you don't have when you get on welfare, folks. The government teat extends so far, and then it does nothing. We used to have churches in this country. That's right. We used to have churches. We'd have churches that take people in. Their houses got burned down, whatever the case may be. They would find them food, lodging, a job. They were there to temporarily assist, get them back on their feet, help them walk down the path of life. Well, that's not what you get when you're on permanent hiatus and on the government teat, guaranteed. Now, Kathy, you were talking about when you went down there. What was some of the reactions that you were getting from people? Did and keep in mind, and folks, this had already been, what, three days?
A couple of days.
You know, they've already seen, looks akin to, I don't know, Hiroshima or Nagasaki, literally, ladies and gentlemen, because in many areas there was literally nothing standing. So understandably, these people are a little bit shell-shocked to begin with, but what was the thing that really took you by surprise when you were meeting these people down there? What were they saying to you?
I think what was hardest for my husband and I, that we noticed really fast, was there was no one crying. There wasn't one person crying out of the thousands of people we saw. They were just shocked. A lot of people just staring off into space like they were still trying to grasp what happened. And then you had people with newspapers just, I've got to find work, and trying to figure things out. They're scared. They're shocked. They're scared. And they don't understand why anyone wants to help, which makes them more scared because they're afraid to accept it. Is something going to happen to them?
Well,
they've been through a lot.
Okay, well, let's paint the picture from the other side. Here's a white couple from just north of Austin here in Round Rock, Texas. They're showing up in a brand new Suburban.
We stood out.
You stood out like, yeah, I guess you did. And there are some people standing down there that are shell-shocked, and the question that they want to know is, why do you want to help me?
Correct. And my answer to everyone was, between my husband and I, we have 7 kids, and we would be one of the hardest families to place. And if something happened to us, my kids also fall in the category of the place that we can't find people for either, because I have mainly teenagers. And everyone's willing to take the little baby, but they think if you're 14 to 35,
too high maintenance,
you're going to rob, beat, and steal.
Right.
And they don't think that there's any good people out there. And for as many bad people that there are that we saw, there's a lot of good people too.
Well, you've got a couple now staying with you. And the girl said something that kind of took you aback. Well, what did she tell you, Kathy?
Well, when we approached the family, the thing that actually caught my husband's eye was the dad and the mom stayed very close to the baby, and the dad was playing with the baby, and they were trying to keep her mind off of everything. And we talked them into coming with us, and then we had to explain we had a 3-hour drive into Austin, which was even more scary because they just got off a 10-hour ride on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving back, and the lady, you know, there's that big dead spot of just black in the middle of the night, and she asked my husband, are you going to stab us? She was scared. And my husband started laughing, and we were really tired, and he told her, he said, well, he goes, honey, if I was going to stab someone, I would have done it in Austin. I'm too tired to come all the way up here and do it.
I wouldn't have driven 6 hours just for the pleasure of stabbing you.
Things lightened up a lot after that. Yeah. It just took, they're in shock, and they just needed someone to say something or understand, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Well, and looking at the news reports, and I know you saw, you watched a lot of those yourself. I mean, who hasn't in this country? It's been all 24/7 all over all the news. Very, I mean, there were harrowing tales of bravery, and there were harrowing tales of skullduggery. The mayor of New Orleans basically said that, well, what we're dealing with down here are drug addicts. They were the ones that are going after the pharmacies and breaking in and stealing the pills and going after hospitals trying to get a fix, you know. And again, that's a drug problem that usually is indicative of low-income, inner-city-type problems. Well, he knew it. This guy came up from the streets, and he wasn't having any of this. I mean, he just watched the general situation, and it was decaying, literally decaying, day after day. We still don't know how many people are dead down there. But, folks, imagine this. You're told to leave, and they were told to leave. But when you're... Now, think of this. Can you transpose your current situation to somebody down there in New Orleans? Okay, you got a job. You've got your house, even though it's got a mortgage, but you've got homeowner's insurance. Let me see. You got insurance on the cars. You're pretty well insured. These people down there, in many cases, didn't have cars, absolutely no money. They couldn't get to the bank accounts, even if they did have any money in the banks. The only thing that they could do is hole up in their own home because of the rising floodwaters, ending up in their attics, and a lot of these people are dead because of that. Now, I'm sure if that were you folks, you would have lit out of town in a New York second, showed back up to see what didn't blow away or meld into the water, but you really wouldn't have lost that much because you would have had insurance to cover your losses, wouldn't you? Or would you? We'll take a break. We'll be back with Kathy Townsend.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hello, this is Christine with BringemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring Them Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, we're back. You were just during the break, you were telling me a story. You know, folks, we're societal creatures and we like to fit in. Well, we do to a point. We like to fit into a point that we can still think of ourselves as being free-thinking and independent people, but we're social creatures and we like to socialize. The one gentleman, now you've got a couple with you with a small baby in your home right now, Kathy, that you went down to Houston to, and I hate to put it this way, but begrudgingly came with you. Mm-hmm. That were fearful, that didn't know what was going to happen.
They wanted to come. They wanted to come, but yeah. They were scared. They had fears. Just like we did.
Well, let me... There you go. Okay. So, your one guy decided he was going to shave off his dreadlocks.
That wasn't the guy who lives with me, but it's a family that we placed in Pflugerville. Uh-huh. And he called his mother-in-law and said, what are we going to do? And she said, I have to stay home. She said, I don't have any money. There's nowhere I can go. He said, we can't stay here. I'm coming to get you. He went to get her, and then he shaved his head because everyone there wears dreadlocks. Everyone you see in the shelters pretty much have dreadlocks.
Right.
And his thing was, he said, because of all the bad people that were there, if someone gets shot or something, he doesn't want them to be mistaken for. So he shaved his head before they left. And I think it worked out very well for him. He got a job while they were in the convention center. He was going to start. We didn't know that when we were interviewing him. I placed him in a home at 11 at night. He started at 5 the next morning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. And we've got Jim Smith, Audio Communications, Inc., out of Round Rock, Texas here. What did Jim Smith do?
He employed the gentleman that lives with me, and they're very grateful about it. The family that I have had much success in the help that we've gotten. And I was at the shelter at the time, so I didn't know what was going on. I came home about 12 o'clock that night, and he was extremely exciting, saying this gentleman walked up and said, "What do you do?" And Jeremy said, "I'm a roofer." And he says, "Well, I don't do roofing, but you've got a job, and I'll start you. We'll train you. We'll do everything for you." And Jeremy is like, "I still don't understand why people would do this for a complete stranger." And he started work today.
You know, I mean, there is a bigger message here, and I sense it. I don't know if I quite have my mind wrapped around it yet, but what I'm hearing is a lot of fear. This has been going on for over a week. Folks that were fearful for their life, they didn't know if they were going to live, they didn't know if they were going to die. They got trucked to the Houston, or not the Houston Astrodome, the New Orleans Dome, the Superdome, and that was a mess. We had different jurisdictions battling different things. We had one police department countermanding what another police department was saying. We had people down there at the Superdome that were being loaded on the buses, and before being loaded up there, that people were asking, "Well, where are we going?" And they were telling them, "We can't tell you." Now, all the while, a lot of these people had still had relatives and friends and whatever else in the area that they didn't even know if they were still alive, had not been able to contact them, talk to them. They're going to be put on a bus and bust out of there, but we're not going to tell you we're going to take you.
Well, my family that's with me didn't even get bused to their dome. They had to make it there with a baby and almost got shot a couple times in the process. They saw some people committing suicides. There are some really horrid stories. They said when they were getting on the bus to come to Houston, what they were being told was when the families were trying not to separate and get on the same bus, they were said, "Just get on the bus. Everyone's going to the same place. No one can find anyone now." They didn't all go to the same place.
Well, there's another news report here. At least five people, and this comes in from the Australian. Five people were shot dead by police as they walked across New Orleans Bridge yesterday. These were contractors working for the U.S. Defense Department, according to a report by the AP. The spokesman for the Army Corps of Engineers said the victims were contractors on their way to repair a canal, the new agency said, quoting a Defense Department spokesman. The contractors crossing the bridge to launch barges into Lake Pontchartrain in an operation to fix the 17th Street Canal, according to the spokesman. The shooting took place on the Danziger Bridge across the canal connecting Lake Pontchartrain with the Mississippi River. Early on Sunday, Deputy Police Chief W.J. Riley of New Orleans said police shot at eight people, killing five or six of them. You know, this is so bizarre. I mean, we got over 9/11, September 11, 2001. That was a situation where you had a couple of high-rise buildings collapse. There wasn't any real problems with getting to the scene to help people out. But, folks, think about this. I mean, this was a situation that was well within the grasp and the understanding of New Orleans and its citizenry down there that, you know, we're pretty much living under the gun here. It's called the Gulf of Mexico. And that we could possibly drown in this bowl because they're 10 feet, some areas a little bit less, some a little bit more. But mean sea level, 10 foot under the sea level down there at the Gulf. And the levees that were being built, ladies and gentlemen, and leave it to the politicians, and now they're bantering back and forth. The feds are blaming the state. The state's blaming the feds. But the funding for these Category 3 dikes down there in New Orleans, that funding was cut off a couple of years ago because George Bush needed his money for Homeland Security and the war in Iraq. Now, here we are, 2005, the situation happens, and we've got a lot of political backstabbing going on and CYOBing, by the way, also going on. But the main fact is, and I'll reiterate this, folks, if you're going to depend on the federal government for anything, you're stupid. We were a ruggedly independent country. Ladies and gentlemen, just watch the old black and white Western movies. They did a lot of stuff for journalism and, telling the Hollywood story. But how do you think this country got built? There were people that struck out into the unknown, traversing territory they'd never seen, facing hazards and dangers they never could imagine. But here we all are. We were ruggedly independent. We didn't need any government. We had our own. And if we didn't have our own, we made our own. Now we're in this very, very closely knit, and the federal teat has been spreading out all over this country, and people have forgotten how to be ruggedly independent. We used to be that way. Kathy, you remember back in the day. Welfare was something that somebody never, ever wanted to go on to because, quite frankly, it was demeaning and it was demoralizing. But that doesn't stop. That doesn't stop some people from doing it. I'm not interested or worried about these people because, I've heard all the excuses. If in this country you want to better yourself, you can do so. But if you're in an environment, and I'm asking people to understand this, if you're in an environment that is fostering nothing but defeatism, hopelessness, drug, killings, so on and so forth, a lot of these people have told you, Kathy, that they're not going back to New Orleans, are they?
The majority of them, I'd say, out of everyone that we've talked to, and I've talked to thousands, and my husband also, the ones that did were either really in shock, thinking they're going to go back next week and insurance is going to step in, or they're in housing and everything's going to be cleaned up, or they're just, they've gone crazy, but the majority of them don't want to go back. The family with me, the first thing they said was that they did not want to go back, and when I asked them why, I said, but that's a good thing because it's going to be a long time. And it was an interesting response because it wasn't about cleaning anything up. What they told me was, we are not going to go back and live with these people. And they were talking about the ones that the news shows all the time, which isn't everyone, it's a lot, that are the ones going for the drugs and beating people and raping people. They said, these people were our neighbors. We are not going to go back to live in this kind of environment and raise our baby. They saw the beatings, they saw rapes, and they told me it really wasn't the women that had to be scared. They were raping the children. There were mothers running to get on the bus that did not take their kids with them. They were leaving them behind. Just complete chaos. They witnessed the suicide because a man lost his family, and that was a really hard story for me to swallow. On the third day they were there, they said someone was yelling people brought fresh water, and they couldn't understand why they weren't getting food or water. And I guess the guy went to try to go get some for the family, and they were up in chest high water, and I don't know if the wife lost footing or what happened, but he couldn't get back to his family, and the wife and the kids drowned. And the husband climbed up 5 stories and jumped down on concrete and committed suicide because he lost his family. There are good people out there, and they're desperate. The family that's with me had no problem telling me that they stole. They stole clothes. They had wet clothes. They had a baby. They had no diapers. They had no shoes. They didn't come here with bags of stuff that they had looted. There were people in Houston that went through security gates with waffle irons. You know what they were doing. My people didn't do that, and they were very honest, and they said, we don't steal, but we needed these things. And I laughed, and I told them. I said, I didn't consider it stealing. I would have done it, okay?
Sure.
And I said, we're white. Everyone keeps separating the colors. I said, but if it takes feeding my kids and clothing them,
that's right.
I said, that's survival. That's not stealing.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something. The blacks, and boy, I know this is going to, I can just about imagine what some of my listeners are thinking right now. Oh, gosh, is he really going there? Yeah, I'm going to go there because we're people too, folks. And I'll tell you something. How would you have felt if you were isolated, scorned, cut off from society? How would you be reacting? How would you be thinking? And this shocked me. I mean, I never thought for an instant, I never thought that I would hear the day that people come riding up, here comes the cavalry. They're here to save you. And then people just looking at you and going, we're a little bit suspicious of you and we're not very trusting, and you're saying you're down here to help us, but why should we trust you?
Let me tell you the greatest story for that right there. One of the days that we worked in Austin, and this one, my husband was laughing because I have a family in Austin that wanted to take a family in. And every time I called them and I said, we're going to be on our way, I'd be calling them back. Something didn't work out. They didn't understand. So the wife's comment to me was, she goes, Kathy, I'm the nicest person in the world. My husband is. We want a family, and we're black. I'm coming down there. I'm bringing someone home. She came down, my husband and her met up, and they came and met me, and we introduced them to the first family. I had to introduce them to three. She was turned down three times. She turned and looked at me. She didn't know whether to choke the people or what to do, and she said, I'm black, and I got turned down three times. My husband's laughing while they're walking out the door, saying, well, that's two more things I can knock off the list. It's not because I'm a man, and it's not because I'm black. It's because these people are scared. They do not understand. And that's part of why I like being down there. I've listened to so many stories. It's not a slap in the face to me. It was the first day to where I almost left. And then I realized that's not what it's about. They've lost everything, and now you're telling them to put all their trust in you and let's rebuild their lives. But at the same time, they're like, why? And they're not thinking about for you. It's like, why would you do this? Because we've got a lot of concerns too, and it doesn't make our life any easier. So it's been an interesting road. The black-white thing, it happened to black people too. So,
you know, and I could probably do a whole show, and I'd be better off by thinking before I speak here, but people understand my position on this, and I've already verbalized enough of about so far. But in the future, I'm going to do a show about this because, you know, we all claim to be such good and righteous people. And, you know, let me tell you something, folks. I'm not God, and I didn't create all the different colors on this planet. Nor do I think I have the right. Nor do I think I have the right to take somebody out because I am a better class of people, or I've got the right color of skin. I judge people by what they do and what they say. Forget about what they just say. Watch what they do also. I have met so many people in my life that I have extended an open hand to them, and they weren't black, they were white, and they screwed me over. The same thing can be said for black. This is people. We're talking people here, human beings. And I'm not God. I don't make them. And I'm sure as heck not going to sit and try to judge them because I've not walked a mile in their moccasins. I've only been in my shoes, and I'm from the outside looking in. But I already understand part of this problem. And it's, you know, what? You're going to move some black people in next door to you where you're going to smell fried chicken all day long? You know, it's some of the old stereotypes. Folks, I live in a neighborhood here in Round Rock, Texas. It's a mixed neighborhood. Right across the street from me is a fine gentleman. He's a black guy, and he happens to be a county sheriff. There's folks who live across the street. I got white people. I got black people. You know what? We got one of the best, nicest-looking neighborhood, and I wouldn't trade these neighbors for anything because they're good people. People is the key. I've got a lady online here. Is she online? Sonia in Arizona.
Yes.
Hi, Sonia. You have a question here?
Oh, I do. Thank you for taking my call. This is for Kathy. Kathy, I live in northern Arizona, and my understanding is we have about 2,000 people in the Phoenix Coliseum. And I'm a registered nurse, and I live in a retirement community. But I would very much like to take a female, 55 or older, who may have some minor medical problems, and I would, you know, feel very comfortable watching after someone who would need, you know, a little bit of encouragement after all of this. I live by myself in a lovely community, and I have tried everything to make some sort of connection here in Arizona, and I haven't been able to do that. So I'm wondering if you can give me some advice.
Well, the longer we're doing it, the harder it's getting. Every time I go into a shelter, the rules change by the hour. Who's allowed in, who's not allowed in, who you can talk to, who gets to help who, which I think is a shame because there's a lot of good volunteers being turned down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the problems. The first problem that we found out when I was headed up to Houston, my husband was driving, we had calls going off the line, And I thought I was taking easy requests. I'll take a single mom with two kids or a single dad with up to three kids.
You were getting calls from New Jersey, Minnesota.
And I didn't know that at the time.
She didn't know what she was getting on the phone.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was getting into. And I thought, you know, this is easy to fill. That's not what happened. There's so many people that you have to interview to make sure that someone you would put in your own home. And then on top of that, you have to get them to go into your own home and trust you. Mm-hmm. When that happened, the requirements started changing like crazy. The one lady, bless her heart, I had placed a family of five. They did not fit anyone's requirements. She wanted a single mom with two kids or a grandma with two kids. Mm-hmm. She ended up with five people over the age of 22, up to the age of 57, all one family. The gentleman is working. One of them has got a job, and she's a wonderful woman that opened her doors when she understood after talking to me for 2 days that the requirements were really hard.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that's the hardest for you is I have people that are offering homes in other states and offering bus tickets to get there. It is hard for me to get them to go anywhere from 20 minutes to 3 hours down the road to convince them to trust a stranger going even farther. Mm-hmm. I think maybe a week or more into it that they might when everything's settling in a lot more. But
yeah,
right now, everyone's still trying to hook up with their families and things like that.
Well,
but
Sonia, let me do this. Let me have the engineer here take you down, and we'll take your number.
Okay.
And I think I understand the request that you have 55 or over, maybe some medical problems or need some little health care because you are a retired registered nurse?
Yes, I'm a retired registered nurse,
okay.
Yes.
All right, and you are living in Arizona?
Yes, I'm living in Prescott.
Okay, real good. All right, well, I'll tell you what, and if you would, Mr. Producer, take her down. Sonia, hang on the line just 1 second.
All
right. We'll see if we can get the parties together.
I promise I'll fill it if I find the person to be there. I promise you.
See,
I'll
well, you're in a position because you're having to be interviewer. You have to use your guile and your wit to try to screen some of these folks, because the last thing that you want to do is to bring somebody with less than good intention for their newfound host. You don't want to introduce that. But, you know, there is a certain amount of risk in everything. And I've got to say this, folks, in life, there's a certain amount of risk. The people that I see displaying fear are of no use to themselves or anybody else. What I do respect is when people show no fear. And I'll tell you something. If I would have been a cop down there in Louisiana, I had seen some of the film footage going after the looters and people carrying out colored TVs. And I mean, it's just the stories go on and on and on. I don't know how well I could have handled that because I don't like thieves, folks. If somebody will lie to you, they'll steal from you. If they'll steal from you, the amount's great enough. Some people may even try to take your life to alleviate you of your riches. So, you know, we're being careful about this, and I just want people to understand. But also understand that you're dealing with people that are just may not be acting normally because it has not been a normal circumstance for the last week or plus out of their lives. So we're asking for a leap of faith here. And also, I'm assuming we skipped that last break. Oh, we did. Okay. I've got this little clock going off in my head going, where's the bumper music? Okay. Kathy, you need, you've expended every penny that you have on this deal.
I've got about $7 in my pocket left.
Well, and thank you, Rusty. Rusty is on his way home. Rusty brought some shrimp up here. We're gonna. You've got your anniversary is coming up.
My anniversary is tomorrow. My husband's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Brad. And mine was yesterday. We spent it all in shelters.
You spent it all in shelters. Well, yeah. we're going to send you. Thank you, Rusty, for bringing this shrimp up. We've got some fresh deep water Gulf shrimp. We're going to send you home with 11 pounds of that.
Thank you very much.
Well, no, that's courtesy of Republic Broadcasting. But, Kathy, folks out there that would want to help but can't because of a situation, maybe where they're living or whatever the case may be, if you have a few dollars, this lady certainly has put the time in, her and her husband, Brad, and on top of it, folks, she has seven children of her own. How many do you have? She needs some funds. And I'm going to which number would you like me to put out for this?
My home number.
Okay,
I can't keep up with my cell.
Okay, yeah,
You killed me.
Yeah, I killed you. She's off to Houston, and she's getting calls on her cell phone from all over the country. I put that out, last Thursday, I think. Canada called her, yeah. And one guy was very nice. He said, look, if you can get him to Round Rock area, I'll buy bus tickets for him. I've got property up here in a house. You know, I might have to clean it up a little bit, but at least it's dry and it's safe and whatever else. Even people from Minnesota were responding to this.
Wonderful donations.
Let me put this number out. And, folks, I really want you to consider this. Out of all of what you've seen and heard out of the last week, say something a little bit with your pocketbook. I mean, we're not asking for tens of thousands of dollars here. A few bucks here and there from our listeners out there would certainly help Kathy Townsend and her husband cope with this. And you're not done yet, are you?
No, not at all. Today we tried to take a little bit of a rest and work on donations and try to get some sleep because we're working off of very little sleep. But we need help, and it's not the big sectors that need help. Everything that comes to us goes to the families that we have placed. Anything that we don't use or cannot use will go back into the people in the shelter, so it will all get to everyone that needs it.
Nothing left over.
Nothing left over.
All right, 512-246-1060. That's 512-246-1060 is the number. Give him a call. Is your husband home right now?
He's home, and I was going to say, remember, because people have been calling at all bizarre times, I do have kids, so if you leave a message, please call back and talk to one of us.
Okay, and then don't call up at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously. All right, well, Kathy, I will stay on top of this, and I appreciate, evidently, what prompted you to do this? I mean, what...
I just couldn't stand what I saw. That could be me. I mean, anywhere you can have a disaster. I used to live in California. I've been through earthquakes, fires, anything.
Which is a disaster unto itself.
Yeah, and it could be me. How can... I'm not the kind of person that can't not help somebody. I mean, this isn't just like something that happened on the next block and there's a lot of people to fill. This is a place that's been completely devastated. And, you know, I know the news is covering a lot of bad people out there. But there are a lot of good families that are scared to death, hardworking families that have been with their jobs 5, 10 years or more, and they're looking for work. And right now, we need the donations for it. The houses that have people, they need food in there. We need cash. We need gas. Anyone that has any old cars that they might want to get rid of, bikes so these people can get around. Families need dressers just so we can get their clothes
just,
put somewhere. We're pretty crowded.
Normal, everyday stuff. I mean, how many people... Kathy, how many people think about, well, I don't have any underwear, what am I going to do? I don't have a toothbrush, let alone toothpaste, what am I going to do? I mean, this is how serious it is. Gone is everything, everything from their lives.
And we don't realize what they need. As we're going, we've learned, too, because Sandra's made runs for us, and just things like soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant. You don't think about some of this stuff until you're going through every day. People are coming out of shock, and you're trying to do it. You know, but we're running out. We need help.
All right. That number again, folks, and you have been more than generous in the past. Do this for somebody, and you may not know who it's going to be, but you've heard the woman here in the studio, Kathy Townsend, and you can make that connection. You maybe not know where your few dollars is going to go to help what person, but I'm here to tell you it'll be put to good use. I mean, nothing to waste. So, Kathy, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate this very much. And, folks, we can be better human beings out of this deal. I mean, we really can. I look for any situation to improve. We can always do better, folks. Anybody that's satisfied with their status in life and how they are or whatever the case may be, take a second look. It's not as rosy as you think it is. Thanks again, Kathy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Folks, that'll do it for this hour, second hour of the National Intel Report coming up here in a minute. We will take your calls also at 313-9443. I'll get that number right. 800-313-9443. Go over some of the news and information surrounding this. It is still a very hot topic, folks. We'll be right back.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.